Welcome back into the second hour of The Morning Tailgate. Thanks for joining us. Vinny Bonsignor, Vince Sapienza, I'm Clay Baker here with you, and we got a lot to get into this hour as we will get your thoughts up on the text line at phone number 702-365-9200, up on X at RNR 920 AM here on Raider Nation Radio. We got sound from Minshew, Pierce, and Moore, and Devontae. We'll get to it all here on this Thursday, but let's go behind enemy lines with award-winning writer and author Bo Smolka with the Press Box Online, longtime Ravens writer. He joins us now here on Raider Nation Radio. Bo, thank you for joining us, and good morning on a busy week for you between the Orioles and the Ravens. So much going on. But you know what? Can I ask you, we listened to the Lamar Jackson presser yesterday in the scrum, and he gets fielded with so many questions about how much weight he has lost. Considering the physicality of his game against the Kansas City Chiefs, is that an issue to you? And does it look discernibly that he has lost a lot of weight in comparison to where he looked like last year?
Hi, good morning. The answer to your last question is he looks thinner to me than last year. He's come back in great shape, and his whole mental approach, I think, is better this year. Last year he had the contract thing hanging over his head for a while, and I think that affected him at times. But he looks thinner. I think he noticeably looks thinner. The questions about the contact were because he carried 16 times, I believe it was, against Kansas City, and a couple of times, and I asked him about this specifically, is he's right near the sideline, and instead of going out of bounds, he just lowered his shoulder and, like, embraced the contact with the Chiefs defenders. And I'm not sure that's something the Ravens really want him doing, because he's going to take shots. And over 17 games, how many hits can he afford to absorb like that? He says he's just being competitive. He's playing the play. But I do think he looks lighter. I think he said it's made him faster. But in the past, he said he wanted to be a little bigger so he could take the contact. So we'll see how that plays out. But I definitely think he looks a little thinner and a little faster than he did last year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He's been kind of fluctuating on both sides of it, and for good reason. You want to power up to withstand the hits, but then maybe that takes away some agility. So you want to lose some weight to gain back the agility and the quickness. It all makes sense. But I was cringing on Thursday night against when the Ravens played the Chiefs on how many times he doled out physicality rather than kind of shied away from it. I get the competitive edge. I love that about Lamar Jackson. We all do. But did somebody pull him aside and say, Lamar, it's week one. We need you for 17 games. We need you for January. We want to play in February this year. We can't afford to lose you, so you're going to have to cut that back a little bit.
I mean, that was kind of the tone of a lot of the questioning yesterday of both Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh, and neither of them would come right out and say, "Yeah, we told him don't be taking those hits, don't welcome the hits, don't do that." They're both kind of in competitive mode now. I think privately, probably, and I can't imagine the Ravens want him lowering your shoulder on the sideline and challenging linebackers to one-on-one confrontation. He said yesterday, well, you know, when I get near the sideline, they're going to hit me anyway, so I'm going to hit them before they hit me. I mean, okay, but still, your point is valid. I mean, this team is, they need him. But, you know, every team kind of needs their starting quarterback, for sure. But this team maybe more than almost any of them. So you're right. It was week one. They got 16 more games, and they don't want him taking those shots week after week.
Bo, the big discussion here in Las Vegas was the lack of run game for the Silver and Black in week one against L.A. I'm just curious, as we kind of flip the sides of the field, how much of a point of emphasis is that for Baltimore, looking at as they game plan for week two and shutting down the run, making Vegas more one-dimensional? Is that a topic in terms of what they need to do, or how much is the discussion of the Ravens' defense just kind of finding their form?
I think it's probably both. I think this defense feels they didn't play very well at Kansas City. I think they got kind of kicked in the teeth a little bit, and they felt that way. They got burned on the crossing patterns over the middle. Kansas City's speed was a problem. They had some bad miscommunications, gave up a wide-open touchdown. So all that kind of stuff is the thing they're really smarting about this week. I think that they're generally a pretty good run defense team, and the middle of that defense with Matabike and Travis Jones, who's a name you might hear a lot of this year. I think he's set for a breakout year as kind of an interior defender. Those guys are pretty stout against the run. Mm-hmm. Roquan Smith is who he is. He's a beast inside. They do have a new inside linebacker, Trenton Simpson, who has replaced Patrick Queen. They like his speed and his tackling ability. He's a little smaller than some inside linebackers, but he's fast. So I think they feel comfortable against the run in general. I think more than anything, they feel a little bit humbled by how they played against Kansas City. And I think they're a little bit angry and on edge to show that they're a better defense than that.
Bo Smolka is here with us, Press Box Online, covering the Ravens. Also, BoSmolka.com. When you think about what they were, what the Ravens have been doing in Zach Orr, especially in the secondary, getting rookie like Nate Wiggins to start on the outside corner, talk about his maturation and also, you know, the kind of game he had against the Chiefs, because it's something that, you know, you're trying to grow from week to week, but he already seems to be settling in right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's their first round draft pick, and this team will say we can never have too many corners. It's a deep secondary. I'll say this. In training camp, their secondary was by far, I would say, their best position group all through training camp. And then that was the interesting thing, because then they made a couple colossal blunders in the game against the Chiefs. And Kyle Hamilton, who's a stand-up guy, came right out yesterday and said that long touchdown was on me. And if you haven't seen it, Marlon Humphrey is lined up opposite Worthy, and he lets Worthy go thinking someone's playing him deep, and Worthy, no one plays him deep, and Worthy's open by 15 yards for a touchdown. And Hamilton said, that was me. I was supposed to be playing deep, and I didn't. They mix and match a lot in their secondary. You mentioned Nate Wiggins, their first-round draft pick. He can play outside, and if they do that, they've got Brandon Stevens, an underrated, very steady corner on the other side, and then Marlon Humphrey might go inside and play in the slot where they like him because he's physical. The thing about this team, I think, I think Kyle Hamilton playing near the line of scrimmage is where they're best. And I say that having after they blew that play that week. But High Hamilton will play in the slot a lot, and he's big and long and physical. And so they'll play him in the slot at times. And if they do that, Marlon Humphrey's probably outside and Nate Wiggins isn't even on the field. And then they have a different safety, Eddie Jackson, back there with Marcus Williams. They'll mix and match a lot.
Okay.
They try to be unpredictable. They try to disguise what they're doing till the last second, and that's something that Zach Orr's taken from the previous coordinator, Mike McDonald. Zach Orr is in his first year as the coordinator here, but he played here. He worked under Mike McDonald here. He's considered a rising star in the profession by this team. So you'll see a lot of different looks from this secondary. You'll definitely see Wiggins on the field. You'll also see Hamilton playing in the slot at times and playing deep at times. But in my mind, they're a better team when Hamilton's in the slot.
So I think John Harbaugh was absolutely correct in saying, look, Derrick Henry wasn't brought here to carry the ball 30 times a game. And I think anyone who thought that was going to be the case probably was misreading the room. However, 13 carries, I think, is a little bit on the light side for that first game. So I ask you this. A, was that just kind of a product of how the rhythm of that game played out? And B, if you're the Raiders, should you be tightening up the chin strap, because there's probably going to be a heavier dose of Derrick Henry on Sunday in Baltimore?
I think probably both. I think there will be a heavier dose of Derrick Henry. I think that that's part of the way the game played out. Some of the runs by Jackson were not designed runs. He scrambled after he got in trouble, which will happen every game. He's got a few runs that are not designed runs. He did have some designed runs. The biggest thing with Derrick Henry really is how will this offensive line hold up for him? And I know the Ravens expressed all sorts of concern about this Raiders defensive front. And the offensive line of this Ravens team has effectively three new starters. Both guards are guys who have never played guard before in the NFL until last week. This is their first game. One was a second-round, effectively, rookie, Andrew Voorhees. The other guy is Daniel Faalele, who was a backup tackle last year. They moved him to guard this summer. He's never played guard before this year. And then their outside right tackle is probably going to be this guy, Patrick McCary, who's kind of a super sub who fills in a lot. But it's a kind of work-in-progress offensive line. And the question is, can they push people off the ball, and can they open up holes for Henry and Justice Hill? But I do think they're going to work hard to do that and to establish Henry in the running game. The question is Henry getting hit 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage like he sometimes did against Kansas City? But 13 carries for Henry, I do think, was light, and I expect we will see more carries by Henry and fewer carries by Jackson this week.
Bo, when we look at the Week 2 slate, the Raiders are the biggest underdogs of the weekend at plus 9. So I'm curious. I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I'm going to have you finish this sentence. The Raiders can upset the Ravens if.
Oh, I think the Raiders can upset the Ravens if they're edge rushers and if that defensive front creates problems for Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson's susceptible to anything, it's these strip sack fumbles. If you remember the game at L.A. or Vegas a few years ago, a strip sack in overtime basically set up the winning score for the Raiders. Lamar Jackson had a strip sack fumble by Chris Jones last weekend at Kansas City. And so I think the turnover thing is big. Lamar Jackson in his career has been a little susceptible to those. And so if Crosby and some of these guys for the Raiders can really create havoc against this Ravens offensive line, create fumbles, maybe force Jackson to a bad turnover, then that's absolutely the way the Raiders can win.
Hey, real quick, Bo, just in the observation from week one, Isaiah Likely, a lot of catches, 9 catches, a lot of targets. Is that more of a trend, or is that just something that was matchup-based? Because normally it's Mark Andrews' show at tight end.
I think it's not a trend. I think he's going to have a big year. Okay. I'm not sure he's going to have 100 yards every game, but they will use Andrews and Jackson and Likely on the field a lot together. Mark Andrews, I'm not sure he's still 100% back from that injury from last year, but Likely is a dangerous receiver. I mean, officially he's a tight end, but he's really more of a slot receiver. He doesn't play in line as a traditional tight end a lot. He's got good size, and the other thing with him is he's an exceptional ball carrier after the catch. His touchdown yesterday against the Chiefs, he caught it about the 30-yard line, made a nice spin move, got a block, and got to the end zone. Of his touchdowns last year, if I'm thinking correctly, probably 3 or 4 of the 5 of them, he didn't catch in the end zone. He caught it and then worked his way to the end zone. So he's a guy that piles up yards after he makes the catch. He and Lamar Jackson have kind of built this trust up. And like with Mark Andrews, Likely generally gets open where Jackson most likes to throw. And so I think both Andrews and Likely will be on the field a lot. Todd Monken said as much. He said, we got to get our best playmakers on the field, and Andrews and Likely are two of them. So I think you'll see two tight ends on the field a lot for this team. I think it creates a matchup problem. But Likely, yeah, I don't think his 100-yard game against the Chiefs was an aberration. I think he's going to have more of them this year.
Bo Smolka here with us, PressBox Online, also BoSmolka.com, award-winning writer and author. Thank you for your time today. We appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you again down the road.
All right, thank you. Take care. Have
thank
a good
you.
Day.
Thanks, Bo. Follow him on X at BSmolka. All right, real quick, he brought up the secondary as their best position group. That's going to be another tall order for these wide receivers to find separation against a young, fast, and as they use so many different rotations and so many different looks in their zone packages, this is going to be another challenge for them to find that mix and that formula downfield.
Yeah, that's why I was saying when the Raiders were looking for help in the secondary, hey, just go claim whoever the Ravens cut.
Right.
Typically, it's such a competitive room that they're probably going to have to wave goodbye.
Camp out at their front door.
Pretty darn good, but I digress. Without question, and Kyle Hamilton is just a spectacular football player, and the problem with him is. Like our guest talked about, look, he could be in the slot, he could be out wide, he could be back deep, he could be at the line of scrimmage, he could play box, in the box. And the point with the other part of it is, forget just where he's lined up, but his body build. He's a lanky kid with long arms that if you aren't aware of him and you're throwing to an area, all of a sudden, A, he can make up a lot of ground with those long legs. B, he's got those long arms to be able to tip it away.
Okay.
And sometimes when he tips it, it's not to the ground. It's up in the air for whether it's himself or a teammate to go get. And oftentimes, if you watch the film, quarterbacks just don't even know that he's in the vicinity. They're not thinking that there's no way he can make up that ground in order to make a play here. So he and Marlon and everybody else in that secondary are guys that the Raiders and Gardner Minshew have got to be aware of.
We're obviously super close to the Raiders and to this team and the good, the bad, and maybe the not so great. That's why it's always interesting when we get these behind enemy lines and we ask the question, all right, you are close to that team.
Yes.
What would it take? I mean, -9. The Ravens are -9. That's a massive number in week 2 when the next highest, I believe, is 6.5. anywhere else. So nobody's given the Raiders a shot to win this game. And so what will it take? And I thought it was fascinating. The first thing he said was strip sacks. Lamar Jackson.
Turnovers.
Strip sacks to Lamar Jackson.
Interceptions,
I mean,
it was
containing is one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the defensive ends being able to get around. And obviously the Raiders are a little thin right now on that defensive end spot. But what that tells me, Max Crosby.
Yeah.
Come on down. Mm-hmm. And when we look at Max Crosby's numbers, the last time he played the Ravens, 2 sacks, 6 total tackles, 2 for 4 losses, 5 quarterback hits.
I think, and add Christian Wilkins to that. I think Christian Wilkins showed, if we're not talking enough about somebody off of Sunday's game, and
what
it's easy
monster.
To get lost in the loss, you know, and get caught up in that sauce, and rightfully so.
What did Marcus Johnson say yesterday about Wilkins. Christian Wilkins? Man, his tape is crazy.
It is. It absolutely is.
That's literally what he said yesterday about one game with the Raiders. Man, his tape is crazy. It was fantastic.
Without question. And when you talk about, especially against a guy like Lamar, being able to get that push up front in order to, you know, slide him left or right, maybe, and the Raiders would hope, right into the open arms of a Max Crosby. But he's also sound enough fundamentally, as is Max, to be able to not just make the sack, but to create havoc in doing so. And that's where the strip sacks come from. You don't think for a second Patrick Graham and Rob Leonard, the defensive line coach, are not stressing to Max Crosby and everybody else on that defensive line, and that defense for that matter, because you're going to see some blitzes. This is a guy who fumbles the ball. He will fumble because he's not that he's loose with the ball, but you know, he's looking to make plays as well.
He's so agile and he moves so freely that his body's just in different spots all the time.
And sometimes the ball is as well.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It's an interesting thing.
Exactly.
Because you're right, he's not loose with it. And I think that's a misconception.
No.
People think, oh, he has a lot of fumbles. He doesn't take care of the ball. I disagree. I just think he's so active with it.
And competitive. So sometimes because you are competitive, there's, you know, and you're in such a hurry to go make a play, which is part of his brilliance, something gives a little bit, and sometimes that's ball security. So if you're Max Crosby or you're anybody on that defense, if you've got a chance to get into Lamar Jackson's face, whether it's as a runner or as a or when he's back there throwing, always be aware that by taking it one step further, you might be able to make, as Robert Spillane always points out, one of those game-altering plays. Don't just get the sack, which is big enough. How about a strip sack? Because I can envision a Nate Hobbs, a Jack Jones, a Trayvon Merrick, then scooping it up and taking it the other direction. Because I do believe, and we were up in the press box talking about this on Sunday. How many times would we say, man, the defense might have to score a touchdown in this game, and it's you know, we laugh at it because we're like, man, how much more do we?
Yeah,
how much
what
more
can you ask of this unit?
But that is something that I think they are capable of doing. So
100%.
It's something that you can, not that you can count on from a week to week basis, but you wouldn't be surprised if it happened. You know, not week to week, but definitely periodically. And this would be a great game for the Raiders. To be able to get one defensively, and the way Lamar Jackson plays, he might be susceptible to one of those fumbles that could go squirreling down the field and get picked up and taken back for a touchdown.
So I brought up those stats Max Crosby had about against the game he
Great
had
game,
against
by
Lamar.
The way.
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That was 3 years ago.
It was the first game for the Raiders, right?
With fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 2 sacks, 6 total tackles, 2 tackles for a loss, 5 quarterback hits. We remember it because it was a big game here inside Allegiant Stadium, overtime winner, all that stuff. You know who else remembered it? Lamar Jackson.
High motor, that guy. He's a great edge rusher, man. My hat's off to him. He was high motor. He was just going at it all game. I was like, this man here, I was laughing, you know, Max. And he was like trying to get after me, and I was like talking trash back. He was like, but I love your game, Lamar, like stuff like that. But he's a great edge rusher, man. He's definitely a great edge rusher. Yeah.
That'll be something to watch, the back and forth between him and Max.
Oh my goodness. I mean, there has to be, I mean, there's always a camera dedicated to Lamar, it feels like, at this point, and rightfully so. But I think Max has achieved that status as well, where I think it goes beyond just like the NFL films cameras. We need the broadcast cameras to just be on those two. And how good do you have to be able to perform at such a high level that you are competing and attacking each other on a play-by-play basis and you are laughing at one another, talking trash to one another while also complimenting each other? And that was 3 years ago.
National TV game.
It's classic backyard football.
It was great.
You know, where you're just kids having fun and playing the game and wanting to win and talking the trash. Mm-hmm. Losers walk, yeah. You know, winners, you know, I forget what we used to say, but we were always on the winning side, by the way. We didn't do a whole lot of walking. But, yeah, it's the great thing about football because there's mad respect between mm-hmm. Mad Max and Lamar Jackson, obviously. Don't think for a second they don't want to drive the stake through each other's heart and win the game, football-wise speaking. But at the same time, they can appreciate each other in real time, as you mentioned, complimenting each other, talking smack to each other, laughing at each other, having fun. So in the game, within the game, that's certainly worth keeping an eye on. And hearing, you know, what we heard during training camp, Christian Wilkins is just as flamboyant out there and just as vocal out there in a funny sort of a way. So that's going to add to the volume. It's going to turn the volume up even more.
Coming up next, we'll hear more sound from Minshew, Pierce, as well as Devontae, and get your thoughts up on the text line 702-365-9200.
Hey, just want to remind everybody that next Saturday night before the Raiders season opener against the Carolina Panthers, we will be having our weekly or home game Raider Rally, and this year we're doing it over at Crust and Rue. It's at the Town Square Center in Las Vegas, right across the street from where we used to have it, over at Rockstar Bar and Grill, a great pizzeria, great vibe, great atmosphere, great bar, and of course they're proud partners of Dos Catas Tequila. So we'll be starting at 5 o'clock. Next Saturday night, ahead of the Raiders season opener against the Carolina Panthers, and that is where we're going to be on a weekly basis during Raiders home weeks. The Crust and Rue over at Town Square Center here in Las Vegas.
Ooh. Yes. Yes. This makes me feel like I should be running, like I got somewhere to go.
Yeah. You and Mac Hollins, barefoot, running in the fields.
Frolicking.
Yeah.
Frolicking in the fields, barefoot.
With his flowing hair.
Ooh, I mean, he's got a good head of lettuce.
Yeah.
That is some good cabbage.
Jealous. Definitely jealous.
Man.
Good dude.
Great dude.
One of the
best to talk to.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the best to talk to.
Well, he was great because he would like get other guys to think about different things about, like, you know, AJ Cole, and he got along really good. You know, the back and forth, the crazy hypothetical questions.
Would you rather?
Yeah.
They played Would You Rather quite often, and his whole thing was, give me a house with snakes rather than ants, I think it was, or I forget what it was.
I think it was ants.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Me and Mac were talking this morning, actually, about if, like, right when you died, you could get access to, like, any statistic. It's like, I saw it on the internet, but, like, if you could get, like, access to, like, any life statistic, like, how many steps you've taken in your life, or, like, how many, like, yards you've ran, or, like, how many balls he's caught or something like that. So I was saying that, like, what was the one he brought up? I think he said that the one he would bring up is, like, how many, like, wrong decisions he's made, or, like, how many, yeah. So, like, we were talking about that. That was, like, a hypothetical.
And he did, like, would you rather live in a house full of snakes or with one lion?
Oh,
you
know, right?
That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? That's a challenging thought. You got to have guys like that to keep things loose.
Is it a two-story house? Hmm. If it's a two-story house, well, I guess it doesn't matter. The lion would just jump on that second floor.
And snakes can crawl. Snakes can get into vents.
I don't like snakes.
You know?
I don't like snakes.
We lost
a
lion
snake once. You lose.
Yeah.
Like, you lose 100%.
Right.
Snakes. Yeah, I just think of anaconda.
Snakes or lion in Baltimore this week? Who are the Raiders going to be?
Who's the winner?
Well, that's like I said,
minus nine favorite for the Ravens, biggest of the weekend. That makes a lot of sense. It makes sense, but it tells us nobody thinks the Raiders are winning this game.
Yeah,
according
to the sports books, and you know, there's a lot of cards stacked up against them. They're a little bit banged up, as we know, not just defensively, where Malcolm Kuntz is out. I did see Tyree walking around in the locker room. It looked promising. I don't know about this week, but it certainly doesn't appear to be a long-term deal.
Tough for him and just personally, right? I mean, this was a big year.
There's still plenty of time left, but yeah.
Not saying that, but this was – you talk about development and a guy whose rookie year didn't play a lot, and you're just looking for reps, right?
Yeah.
You're just looking to
– and he was going to get them, right?
As players like to say, stack days, right?
Right.
Stack reps, stack games,
and
stack experience.
I think that experience
– tough.
Is critical for him, because that's, to me, you could talk about practice and you could talk about all the work that you put into
the SAC summit,
which is all good and important and critical, really.
Yeah.
But there's nothing quite like actually getting out there and playing and having to make those adjustments in real time,
having to
figure out, how am I going to beat this offensive tackle?
How
or
to set
this
him
defense?
Up?
Yeah,
from first quarter to second to third to fourth,
and that's just time on task, because what you're doing in the first quarter is a setup for something perhaps in the third quarter. And if you always got those things, those moves, you're holding them in your back pocket to use at the perfect time against the perfect defensive or offensive coverage look. But that's been taken away from him again, and that is unfortunate. But going back to why the Raiders are such a prohibitive underdog in this game, you've got injuries to the offensive line, to the defensive line. You're making the long trip across country. The Raiders are going to go on Saturday. It's an early flight. I think they get to Baltimore around 4 o'clock. So they're not giving themselves that extra day to get acclimated to the East Coast. I know Antonio talked yesterday about they're starting their days earlier. They're not practicing any earlier, but they're starting their days earlier to get on that clock. So the Baltimore Ravens have an extra 3-4 days or actually 4 or 5 days to rest. So the cards are stacked against the Raiders. But as Davante Adams talked about yesterday in terms of being more aggressive off, no excuses. You got to go. I'm not saying this is a must win. But the very thing that Antonio Pierce and Davante Adams and everybody else have been talking about in terms of not digging yourself a hole to start the season is they're inches away from doing just that if they don't take care of business on Sunday.
And what a win. I mean, you look at the flip side. What a win would do for this team, right? I mean, just this would that would be exponential. But when we talk about
– love that word.
Talked a lot of – this week about everything the Raiders want to do to be successful starts with the run, right? I mean, we've talked about it. We talked about what they didn't do right on Sunday, why that cost them a week one win, how that needs to change, why it needs to change. And that being said, that all remains true. However, you could help the run game when it is not going by finding ways to take shots downfield, something the Raiders did not do. Again, a byproduct of that was because the way the Chargers were playing, they weren't respecting the run, so they were playing sticky coverage, nice and tight, press coverage. Even if it was zone, they were pressing the receiver, so there wasn't a lot of options downfield. That being said, sometimes you have to be the aggressor. Sometimes you have to put your foot on the gas. Gardner Minshew met with media yesterday and was asked how they can create and generate more threats down the field.
I don't know, man. That changes week to week, you know. You kind of get a beat on the defense you're playing, how they're calling. I mean, so much of that stuff is just timing of the call, you know. And, you know, we didn't have the down the field shots coming open like we wanted. But, you know, always looking for those, always looking for ways to give our guys a chance down there, because we got guys that can go make plays.
And, again, I know we talk about Gardner Minshew may not have the biggest arm in the National Football League when it comes to that. And I understand what he's saying when he, you know, the defense not giving us the look that we want. And I understand all of that. I do. But when you thrown maybe two passes over 15 yards the entire game. I don't care what the defense is. You have to push them back somehow, even if it's just throwing it up to throw it up. And I'm not saying waste a play necessarily, because when you have the weapon of a Davante Adams, it's not necessarily a 50-50 ball to me. So the advantage is Davante. So when I say, you know, just send him, see what happens. Even if it turns into double, triple coverage, throw it out of bounds, live to play. But you have to threaten. If the running game is not going and you're trying to find different ways to do it, again, it's not ideal, right? It's not ideal just saying, okay, we're tossing this one up. We got to have them have some kind of respect. There's a lot that plays into it. Two passes of over 15 yards last week is too little. It's unacceptable. And with the weapons on this team, it shouldn't happen.
Davante always talks about looks can be deceiving. What looks like him being covered isn't always him being covered. He feels like, as you said, I'll go up and get the ball. And he said yesterday, sometimes it's just guys making plays.
Yeah.
Go make a play. So, and that goes to what you're saying. Be aggressive. Take that chance and give your guy a chance to go make the play, mm-hmm. even if it looks like, you know, he's being defended. All that said, I also think that this is an offense that minimum of two times per game needs to at least try to stretch the field with Trey Tucker. Davante Adams, as you know, for sure, you know, throw downfield to Jacoby Myers. But Trey Tucker is the guy that takes the top off the defense. And if you're not even introducing that to a defense, for the defense to be
aware of it
and respect it and honor it.
And not even, it's a matter of just the safety looking at, moving his head over and being like, is he going to run past me right now? I mean, there was none of that. And that's why I go back to Gardner felt impatient at times. And Marcus Johnson broke down Gardner pretty well yesterday, what I thought, when he says everything we saw of Gardner that essentially earned him the starting job, however you want to phrase that, whatever earned him the starting job, we saw none of it week one. We saw, preseason, there was that deep shot to Trey Tucker.
Yeah,
speaking of Trey.
Great touch on that throw.
It was not even a three-step drop. It was maybe a one-step drop, and he just launched it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of plays that you're looking for. Even if it's not a completion, at minimum, you now have the secondary sitting there being like, all right, this dude's a burner. Next time he lines up, I have to at least take a step or two back.
Right.
Because that step or two is the difference between a Brock Bowers becoming wide open in the middle of the field, Davante Adams on an out route becoming wide open because now everybody is pushed back a little. There was nowhere near enough of that week one, and that has to change week two.
I agree. So we have two has to change. The run game.
Non-negotiables.
Yes, exactly. I was almost going to use that, but as a writer, I'm talking about, we could do it all we want here, for sure.
On TV. You don't like to repeat.
I will get an email from somebody. You know, you use non-negotiables.
Make it like a little, what do you call it in writing? Not a segment, but the non-negotiable table.
There you
go. What's at the non-negotiable table?
You got to run the ball.
Boom.
All right. I mean, it goes without saying, don't turn the ball over. So we don't even have to throw that in there. But for this offense to function, you got to be able to run the ball. But I think you have to take those chances downfield. I think, I don't know if this is a non-negotiable, but I was a little bit surprised in a disappointed sort of a way. The lack of Michael Mayer love again. Like, he's somebody that get the ball in his hands, even on a screen pass, even on a short pass, because he's going to run people over. And I firmly believe that sends a message as well. It sends a message to the defense. It gets your sidelined lit up. It gets your offense lit up. When he's trucking people, that's what he wants to do, it's an energizer throughout the offense. Now, we talked about the lack of snaps that they had, and so that probably contributed to it.
Yeah, but I mean, he still had 3 targets, 2 catches for 3 yards.
But
even what you're getting, you're not getting what you should be getting out of Michael Mayer, and a lot of that goes to the lack of distance throws on the completions
for sure. Yeah.
and things of that nature. So And again, we understand it works hand in hand. The way the Chargers were playing, they weren't respecting the run, rightfully so, in that game.
They were playing straight up. They were stopping the run game straight up. That was really disappointing for the Raiders, because at least if you're selling out to stop the run, that's opening things up downfield. Like, it's less bodies being devoted to pass coverage. In this case, they didn't have to. It didn't really require them taking away somebody from pass coverage to stop the run game. Which, by the way, if you get your run game going, it's going to force them to take somebody away out of pass coverage potentially, mm-hmm. to devote that body to run defense. And the Raiders never gave the Chargers any reason to even make that decision or contemplate that decision, because they weren't winning straight up against the Chargers in that phase of the game.
Keep listening. Third hour coming up. We'll have Tim Murray from VSiN. We'll go over the college football week 3 slate. And coming up next, we'll tell you why sitting like an old man, it's not always such a bad thing. Hey, don't forget to join me tonight, Thursday Night Football, Chickies and Pete's inside the Sahara. I'll be there from 5 to 8 with great prizes. Of course, the great food and drink specials, and Buffalo against Miami, an AFC East showdown. Great atmosphere. Chickies and Pete's, always free parking inside the Sahara.
They treat me like an old man, so I'm going to just act like, because, you know, old men, they don't think. They just say whatever, you know, whatever they feel. So that's how my grandpa is, at least. So I'm just trying to be the old man that they want me to be.
That was the Raiders receiver, Devontae Adams. You know, people have told me I'm an old soul. I like to listen to, like, crooner music, Sinatra, Bobby Darin, just kind of mellow out from time to time.
I like that.
I like to be a homebody from time to time. And apparently, I guess I am an old man in a younger man's body, because I don't know if it's NFL Films or whoever caught this footage. It's the, you know, sideline footage during games. Is there anything better, Clay? No, I mean,
when they started doing mic'd up, that was one of the better things. It connects fans to players to remember that they're human.
You talk about awesome. Changing the game. Forget instant replay. Forget the dynamic kickoff. I'm not going to go there, Vinny. Don't worry. I'm talking about these mic'd up segments. Mm-hmm. So on Sunday Night Football, Rams, Lions. Rams lost. Kobe Turner, defensive tackle for the Rams, and Bobby Brown, also defensive tackle for the Rams, are sitting on the bench, you know, waiting to go back in, just kind of hanging out. And just to give you a visual, Kobe Turner is sitting with his legs out, crossed, and his hands folded together, just resting on his stomach. Very, very relaxed, very casual. And Bobby Brown comes and sits down next to him, and, well, he has some words for him.
Bro, you sitting with your feet crossed?
I'm telling you, I sit like an old man.
Who granddaddy you is? Look at this. Then he got his hands the same.
It ain't comfortable.
It is comfortable. Right, I ain't gonna lie.
Ain't no way that comfortable.
No, try it. Try it. Bro. I'm telling you. Yeah.
So what's happening is Kobe Turner sitting there, arms together, or hands together on his stomach, feet crossed, laid out, and everyone's making fun of him, saying he looks like an old man. They asked him, whose granddaddy are you? like that? And then it gets to the point where all the other linemen on the defense are coming around, talking to him, being like, that can't be comfortable. And he goes, it is comfortable. Try it. They all try it, and they're like, oh, my gosh, this is so comfortable.
This is during the game, and a pivotal game, right? Sunday night, it was an intense game.
There are billions of dollars on these games, Vinny and Clay. Billions. This is a booming business. At the end of the day, we forget how much fun these guys have. It is a game.
And
then when you see them,
you see them
on the sidelines having a conversation about, man, this is comfortable.
Yeah.
During the game.
Where you're sitting like an old man, and it's like your feet are crossed, your hands are on your lap, and your hands are clasped together. And, you know, sometimes when I sit like that, I have to tell myself I'm in public. All right, could you sit differently, please?
Because
you
look like... I'm doing it right now. Yeah. It's fantastic.
It's good.
It ain't comfortable.
It is comfortable. I ain't gonna lie.
And, you know, when are we at our best in life?
Having fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's just there's something to be said about having a joy about what you do. And usually you make the best decisions. Usually you're at your best. Usually you're playing. Obviously, when you get into the game, it's serious for the at that snap of the ball. Focus got to be laser focused, got to be dialed in. But that doesn't mean you can't also have fun.
You can't enjoy it.
Enjoy it, because otherwise, then you become your own worst enemy too. It's kind of part and parcel to all this thing. And I'm with you guys. I love the mic'd up segments and hearing what these guys are talking about and thinking about during the course of a game. Like, oh, look who's in the set. Jay-Z is up. You see, Jay-Z was up in the booth. So not bad at all to have some momentary fun
and
during the course of a very stressful game.
And you bring up a good point. When you sit there and say, hey, you know, like this is during a game, like when they are on the field, it's 100% serious. Yeah. But there are people out there, Vinny, you may have seen them, Clay, as you've seen them on socials.
Oh, of course.
That are sitting there seeing this being like, get your head in the game. What are you doing? No wonder the Rams lost. There's a lot of that. There's a ton of that.
Oh, people don't like it when you shake hands at the end of games and stuff like that.
It's usually the guy that called in sick to work when he had a little cough. Like for the third time this month,
The Monday flu.
Like, dude,
sounds a little specific, Vinny.
Like,
who are we talking about?
I don't. I haven't missed a day of work. I can't even remember. No. I go and look at my checks. And you ever do that?
Did you have perfect attendance in school, Vinny? No. Were you winning that award, the perfect attendance award?
No.
Clay, I feel like you.
No, I ditched.
I feel like Clay would have the perfect attendance.
My son has.
Has he?
He had 2 years of that. I'm like, wow.
2 years?
He's reached tiers and achievements I've never done.
You're like, who am I raising?
You were so unlike me. I don't even know you.
Have some damn fun. There's no doubt about that. But when it comes to work, I'm not somebody that's going to be begging off at all.
Yeah.
That's just me.
He went to school on the last snow day when they snow closed. He actually showed up to school.
What? Yeah. Just to get the award.
Because it meant something.
Light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, I get that.
He gets lunch with the assistant principal.
Oh, man.
But, you know, those guys are so huge. Like, Kobe Turner is, like, you know, 6'3", 300 pounds. Bobby Brown is, like, 6'5", 330.
Yeah,
and so the whole
defensive
line there is sitting with their legs crossed at the ankles, their hands in their laps. Could you imagine if the defensive line coach came by? What if Rob Leonard saw the Raiders defensive line doing that? Like, what is going on?
The best would have been if Sean McVay's like, what are you guys doing?
And then, what the going on over
here? Wow, this is great.
The best part is Sean McVay would probably try it, too. He's like, let me try this out.
Absolutely.
So if you go back, if you're listening to this and you heard it, it's hilarious, right? The video is even better because the looks on their faces, I go back to when I first discovered the M&M crisps. I was like, my face changed. Hey, so your son got to have lunch with the assistant principal.
Yeah.
Was it pizza?
Yeah, in the cafeteria, and they put you on the stage, so it's just you and her at a table eating pizza
in front of
everybody.
Oh,
and he was beaming like he had won an award.
I don't know if that's good or bad. If it's in front of everybody.
Right.
Oh, man.
You know, he lived with that. And it's like, you know, now he's different.
Did he get
it? Now it's like, you know, I'm looking at the progress report. I'm like, wait, are you going to summer school this year? What are you doing? There's no more perfect attendance awards. Everything's been thrown out the window. The old Jackson.
It's fantastic to see grown men, NFL athletes, just behemoths, look like the kids that they were growing up, why they wanted to be in the game, having fun with their friends, enjoying the game.
Their 8-year-old selves out on display.
Clay, you spotted that video as well, so well done on your part because that's good stuff. I mean, sideline video is always great, but when you find those wholesome moments, it's good stuff. And now, everybody, when you sit down, feet out, cross them, put the arms, put the hands together, right on the stomach, lean back a little.
Ooh, hey, you're going to have somebody pull a muscle and
and then email me.
Send you the bill.
Email me the bill.
Send you the bill.
Yeah, I'll send
it. Yeah. I took your advice. Yeah. I still haven't been able to get up.
Send it to the other Vinny.